Hello, I'm Anna.
And I'm Bethany, and we're trying to review every Jane Austen adaptation ever.
Welcome to Austen Translation, the only Jane Austen podcast that covers the character's star signs.
That we know of.
Reunited and it feels so good. We're together.
We're in the same room for the first time in like 2 years.
Well, so we've never recorded together where we've seen our faces, and now I'm actually quite self-conscious about
staring into your eyes. Like this. We should just make full eye contact while the whole time.
So this week, oh, it was actually last week, we're really behind.
Yeah, sorry, we didn't release a podcast and we didn't say anything about it.
We watched Persuasion, 1995.
So, yeah, we've got... Who's it? Kieran Hines and Amanda Root. When I saw Kieran Hines, right, in the, like, promo images, I was like, this is... His face is too long. Just a very long face, and it didn't make sense to me. But then when I watched it, like, you know how some people's faces make more sense when they're moving than when they're not moving?
No, sorry. I got convinced that Amanda Root was married to V. Morrissey, but she's married to David Morrissey.
Just imagine.
Sorry, that's why I was very distracted there, because I was like, what? I agree that he wasn't my... Yeah, his face does make more sense when it's moving. I'm still...
It's not... He's not my type.
He grew on me. I mean, I think we went in on a good Persuasion when we first watched Persuasion.
Yeah.
And what's his face? The posh boy that played...
Rupert Penry-Jones.
Yeah. I think he was an excellent...
He's very good, Captain Wentworth. He's like, very, like, casting. Personable. And...
Yeah. And, like, can do that kind of distant thing. But he grew on me near the end. Like, yeah. I was like, yes, I'm rooting for this. I thought... This is really mean, and it's nothing to do with the actress, because the actress is a really good actress, and that's probably how it like came about. But I was like, she's got such a pathetic face.
That's probably why.
She's so sad all the time, and like she just seems like as if like, people are mean to her, and she just looks sad at them and doesn't do anything about it. Which is Anne Elliot.
Yeah.
I was like, God, you're such a pathetic face.
But I think that's kind of the point, because I think I have seen someone else discuss this, the way that like throughout, you know, like. Over the course of the film, she goes from looking really, like, wan and, like, pathetic to kind of looking like she's... Her looks have much improved. Yeah. And I think towards the end of the film, she looks a lot more confident.
Yeah,
more
yeah. Like so, like, herself. It's like, a credit to the actress, I suppose.
Yeah. Because they don't even, like, do anything massive, like, in terms of... I think they're just a bit of makeup and the different clothes that she wears and stuff.
Yeah, because I was just like, itself. God. But also, that actress, because I looked her up, because she's got a really, like, recognisable face.
Yeah.
She often, in, like, I watch a lot of crime dramas, obviously, and she's normally, like, the poor wife or girlfriend whose husband is, like, or partner is, like, terrible, and she's, like, innocent but complicit, do you know what I mean? Like, she's got wrapped up in this messy thing and she didn't really want it. And I was like, God, you have a face for it, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, people have a face for villains. It's not their fault.
Yeah, it's just their face.
And we watched North and South yesterday, and the guy who proposes to Margaret Hale first.
Yeah.
I was like, he's got...
Henry Lennox,
the actor who plays Henry Lennox in... Is that his name?
Yes.
As in the actor's name?
No,
the character. The actor who plays Henry Lennox in North and South 2004 has a face of a villain, unfortunately.
He does, kind of, yeah.
I have, like, the face of a grumpy person.
So do I, to be fair.
So.
We open with a scene, and I was noticing this because I've watched a lot of Jane Austen things now.
Mm-hmm.
We always enter, very, very often, with someone travelling in a vehicle. So, first of all, we see a boat from underwater, and then there's other people that are arriving somewhere in a carriage, which is also a very classic, I mean, that's more common, like, at the opening of a Jane Austen film, just like, someone arrives in a carriage. Then we cut to finally seeing some characters that we recognise, because we hear Sir Walter, Anne Elliot's dad, saying that he won't have a sailor in his house, because they're dirty. He's like, and he also is like, low-key... kind of like he racist, because he keeps talking about how people with dark skin are like lesser, because he's like, his skin is the colour of mahogany.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's not a great guy, is he?
No, pretty bad guy. But I don't think that's what he was referring to. He might have been, and it doesn't mean that it isn't read that way, but I think he was just meaning that people who are really tan.
Yeah, no, I think he's talking about tanned people. Yeah. But I mean, his vibe.
Yeah, bad vibe.
I mean, it was that thing, wasn't it? It's like, if you were tanned, you were poor.
Yeah, because so you're like a worker or something.
Yeah, like rich people didn't have to work outside, so.
And then his advisor, he's like, you must retrench. And they're like, retrench? No, we will not retrench. You must retrench. And basically, they're in like a really fancy house discussing this.
Yeah.
So, and then a lady across the room, who we find out is called Lady Russell, she's like, yeah, like, I've been with your family for a long time, and I just think this is the only way to do it. I've come up with a plan.
Which I find is weird, because you've listened to Persuasion. I've listened to the beginning of Persuasion. But in the 2005 version, is that when the other one we watched came out? I can't remember. Or it might be 90s, actually. The one with Rupert Penry-Jones.
Yeah.
That's Anne Elliot's idea. That she's the one who's done all the, like, costing and decided everything.
I can't remember who makes the idea in the book, but I think maybe Anne and Lady Russell like discuss it or something.
Yeah, because they're supposed to be, I don't know, in the 2008 version, they're much more like friends.
Yeah, well, Lady Russell has a lot of influence over Anne. She's like her kind of mother figure, because her mother is no longer alive. So I think she's just like,
where I think, yeah, the relationship the relationship seems a lot less equal. More unequal in this adaptation, with like Lady Russell having more power and often not using that well.
I mean, I think that's true of the book as well, but I think like it's just the way that it's portrayed is more like highlighting that. And as Lady Russell's explaining this, Elizabeth is aggressively chewing. Elizabeth is Anne's sister and Lady Russell's daughter, who's older than Anne. Then there's another lady in the room called Mrs. Clay. Mrs. Clay is Elizabeth's like friend, and she's staying with them. She's just being a kiss ass to Sir Walter. And then like they ask Anne what she thinks about this. I don't think she even says anything, does she?
Oh no, Anne doesn't really say anything. Yeah, like that's what I mean. Like she's got that kind of face. It's just like, oh, this upsets me, but I'm not going to say anything about it.
Yeah. And then they're talking about like, so Walter's like, oh, like I don't want my furniture to be ruined and stuff, and they're like, well, Admiral Croft's wife doesn't have any children. A lady with no children is the very best preserver of furniture in the world, which is interesting.
Also, it reminds me of Whoopi Goldberg, where she's just like, I don't like people in my house.
Yeah, I don't want people in my house. Stay away from my furniture. Then they're like, oh yeah, how do we know Admiral Croft? And they're like, oh well, the wife is sister to a guy called Captain Wentworth. Anne's like looking distressed as they're talking about this guy.
This is what annoys me. It's because she just looks like, oh.
She's just like, oh God, oh no.
She's like horrified, but then like so restricted. And like,
she's not going to express herself. So
yeah, like it's just kind of like painful to watch.
We find out that Anne is not in fact coming to Bath because her sister Mary has called for her in Uppercross.
Also, the way she finds this out is Elizabeth is like, Mrs. What's her name? Clay. You miss Mrs. Clay? She misses her company. She's like, oh, yeah, you've got to be my companion in Bath. And then Lady Russell was like, what about Anne? And then they're like, well, Anne's not coming with us.
Anne doesn't know that she's not coming.
And then I was like, that's how she found out. Like, yeah. At the dinner table, she's like, oh, yeah, Anne's not coming with us. Also, it's almost like they don't really want her to come, and she'd much prefer her to hang out with me.
They were like,
Clay.
Well, no one will want you in Bath.
Yeah, she's like, there's no one for you in Bath, so you might as well visit our sister.
And then, like, Sir Walter's looking at himself in a knife at the dinner table. Like, basically, we're just supposed to pick up that Sir Walter is incredibly vain. Because he's really focused on other people's appearance as well.
Yeah. I really hate that, like, as a personality trait. You know when people are like, they pick up in small details. Like, I don't really notice people's appearance very much at all. Like, if people were like, oh, they were quite short or whatever, I'm like, are they? Like, I don't really notice
if someone's really well put together.
If I'm like, oh, yeah, they look good, but I don't notice, like, you know when people are like, I don't like bad shoes? I was like, I don't really look at people's shoes. Like,
yeah.
I don't know, I'm just not taking in an appearance in that way.
But anyway, so, Elizabeth then is about to leave for Bath, right? And she's, like, saying goodbye to Anne at the door, and she's like, someone really ought to visit every house in the parish as a take leave. It'll be only right, because, like, they are, like, the big house in the village or whatever. And then she's like, bye then! Like, someone should do it, but not me.
I had, like, a couple of comments about this. Well, I thought Anne looked older than her age in this.
Yeah, which I think is deliberate.
Yeah, because then I looked her up, because I was like, is she older? She's only like 5 years older than she's supposed to be. But that's still an unusual casting choice, because normally they go younger, don't they? But I was like, that is interesting, because she does look over the age of 27. And then I was like, the character is supposed to seem
older,
weary.
Yeah, almost, yeah, world weary.
Also, I was like, aesthetics do actually matter to me, because I don't like the farmery vibe of this.
Like,
I don't know how to describe it, but it looks like it's got the same aesthetics of an early Midsummer Murders episode. Of, like, a bit, I don't know, but I just
wasn't. Is it the sheep?
No, it's the whole thing of, like, sometimes in, like, say, like, Emma 2020, when they're getting in and out of the carriage, it's, like, very decadent, and it feels bougie.
Yeah.
Where, like, this, it doesn't.
No.
It just feels like it, which is probably more realistic.
Yeah.
Like, it just feels like rural. That would be a really, like, horrific way to be travelling.
Yeah. Lady Russell is there, and she mentions that Anne hasn't been the same since her disappointment. So, clearly, she had a relationship with Wentworth, and it was disappointing. And then Anne goes to say something about the disappointment, because it's implied that Lady Russell has something to do with it, or, like, Lady Russell was involved. She gave advice. Anne's, like, trying to speak about it, and Lady Russell's like, I don't want to talk about it. But then she says, I would have been happy with him, I think, if I had married him in the end.
Persuasion.
Her sister Mary, you see her face peeping out the window, and then she runs off, and then when Anne goes in, like, she's in the bed, so she's clearly run off to make herself look really ill. And she goes in and is like, where's Charles? And apparently Charles is her husband. He is out shooting. And she was like, if I was dying, he wouldn't believe anything was the matter with me.
I feel a bit sorry for Mary in this adaptation. Like, I kind of empathise with her a bit more. Because I'm like, Charles, like, it's clear from, like, this point, I think, that Charles doesn't like her.
No, well, he wanted to marry Anne, we find out later.
Yeah, we find that out later, but, like, it's just very clear that he doesn't like Mary. And Mary, kind of, through no fault of Mary's own, like, that's just who she is, and he doesn't like her. And she obviously, like, is the kind of person who craves attention because her husband
doesn't like her.
And I was like, well, that's quite a sad existence.
Yeah. But then also she's really fucking annoying. So.
Like, she is annoying, but, like, some people are just annoying.
Yeah,
but you've got, like, normally there's a person out there for them.
Yeah. No, it is kind of sad, but, like, she's also really snooty about, like, people.
Yeah, like, she's, like, ridiculous.
So I'm kind of like, I don't know.
Does it make her a bad person,
though? Well, no. But, yeah, basically, he's off. And she's like, no one's visited me all morning. I've been so ill. Charles's sisters, the Miss Musgraves, it doesn't suit them to visit the sick. Mm. And then she's like, really guilt-tripping Anne, being like, why couldn't you have come earlier? It's so unkind of you not to have come earlier. Like, that's what I find weird about her, that she just, like, properly guilt-trips people all the time. I always feel slightly strange about Jane Austen's portrayal of ill women in her novels, as someone who is chronically ill and spends quite a lot of time in bed, and also people don't believe that I'm ill sometimes.
I think it's kind of an accurate representation of what the view would have been.
Yeah, but, like, not in a way, like, often Jane is, like, trying to question those beliefs about women. Like, she also does make fun of women, but not in a way where it's like...
I find, yeah, that is interesting, because Jane herself was chronically ill.
Yeah, so it's interesting, because like, there's, in like, other life. Characters. What other characters have we seen that are, like, very delicate all the
or
time?
Like, sickly, the woman Darcy's supposed to marry.
Yeah, and, like...
They talk about it in Emma a little bit. It crops up.
So, yeah, I think it's interesting, because, like, I guess there is an element of, like, femininity and sickness could be kind of, like, there was something about them that kind of was, I don't know, that like, a sick woman could be kind of, like, more feminine in some ways or something, like, being, like, oh, I'm so delicate, I have a delicate constitution, I need to be, like, I need someone to carry me or, like, hold my arm or whatever. But you don't really see sick women. I mean, I guess you have Fanny Price in Mansfield Park, who is kind of like, has a delicate constitution, but is also has, like, I don't know, strong morals and ethics and stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'd be interested to see. I bet someone's written an essay about it. Mary seems to have married down. Mm. I mean, like, Charles Hayter's parents are not poor. They're quite rich, but they're not that on that, like... their father, Sir Walter, is going to be a baronet. The Elliots, in general, apart from Anne, are really quite snooty and see themselves as above everyone else. They go and walk to the big house, which I think is where Charles's parents live. The Musgrave sisters have just got a harp. And they ask Anne, because apparently Anne's good at playing the harp, to play it. And Mary's like, I'm quite as accomplished as Anne. And they're like... Yeah, but Anne's not got the chance. She doesn't live here, so it would be nice if she could just play the harp. And Mary's like, but I'm just as good as Anne. Like, she's clearly got some real insecurities here.
Yeah, and I think a lot of... Mary has that particularly about Anne. Like, I think Mary's, like, aware enough that Anne is, like, the more popular, likeable sister.
Well, her husband wanted to marry Anne.
Yeah, but I don't think she knew that. I don't think she... Well, she might know she probably in her knew heart that. Of hearts. But I don't think that was...
I feel like he proposed to Anne, and I feel like she would know if someone proposed to her sister.
No, because I think Anne would be the kind of person who to not say
anything. Everyone seems to know.
Only the sisters knew.
Oh, okay.
Only Charles's sisters knew, which would make sense. I don't think Mary knows that he was, like, in love with Anne, or whether he was in love with Anne or not, but, like, he wanted to marry Anne over her. But I don't think that's something that the Elliots are, like, overly aware of, because
I don't think they were paying attention to Anne.
Yeah, and I think Anne would have just saved Charles the embarrassment and just not said anything.
Yeah.
That seems, like, very in character for her.
Because it was also after the whole thing with Wentworth, so I think she was just like, I'm never going to marry anyone again.
And, Mary definitely has some kind of insecurity, and Charles's sisters... Henrietta and
Louisa.
They really love Anne as well, which I think makes it all so much worse.
Yeah, and they say to Mary, oh, but you're so good at dancing, Mary, and Anne doesn't get to dance. It's not entirely clear why Anne doesn't get to dance, but she doesn't. So Mary's mad because Charles has missed lunch. Charles comes in and she's, like, ignoring him. And Charles goes over to Anne and is like, what's going on? And she's like, you missed lunch.
Yeah, and I think what is quite good in this one that you don't really get in the other one is Anne kind of pulls Charles up on his behaviour towards Mary. Mm. She's kind of a bit like, you need to be nicer and, like, more... Like, she's disapproving of how he acts around Mary.
Is he?
Yeah,
is
like, she? There's, like, I sense, like, a weird tension of, like, you've upset her again.
Yeah, well, I think, part like, to me, it felt like... it was like, you know, she's going to get upset if you do this. Like, but in a way where it's a little bit like, she's trying to make Charles aware, like, in a way where he's like, what have I done now? And she's like, oh, you missed lunch, because he's not going to be able to know.
Yeah, see, yeah, I kind of read it as, like, she's on Mary's side. Like,
I think there's kind of a tension where, like, she wants to be loyal to her sister. But
yeah, and she's kind of like, you need to kind of, like, I don't know, he's been married to her. For how long? Like,
don't know.
How does he not know his wife yet?
Yeah.
She's a lot, and in that way, I kind of thought she was a lot, like, grumpier and a bit snappier in this adaptation?
Anne.
Yeah.
Mm, maybe?
Like, I don't know. She doesn't pretend to be happy for anyone.
So then the Admiral and his wife, who's played by Aunt Petunia from Harry Potter, come to visit. And she says to Anne that her brother is married. And Anne is, like, horrified because she thinks it's Wentworth. But it turns out it's actually Edward, who's just this brother that never turns up. Frederick Wentworth, Anne's ex-lover, is coming later. She hears that Wentworth has arrived. He invites Anne to dinner to meet them. Or I guess the Crofts do.
And she kind of, is this where she kind of grips the chair in panic?
Yeah, I think so. Sorry, I keep yielding.
And I'm like, that is really weird. Like, she just like, holding onto the chair.
I know, she's like.
And I just, there's like a lot, I mean, I think one of my criticisms of this film is they reduce a lot of the dialogue to physical acting. So like her gripping the chair or whatever. And like there's a lot of like later on wistful looks between characters or whatever. And I'm like, I would prefer the dialogue. Like, I just, it's okay, but I'm like,
I mean, how, because I think it would be more descriptions, because I think Jane just describes what Anne's thinking. Which...
Yeah, I mean, the way they got around that before is like...
Anne writing letters.
Yeah, or like, and sometimes looking at the camera and stuff.
Yeah. So little Charles, Charles's son, has fallen from a tree, and you could just hear Mary feralely screaming like an absolute animal. And so then they're like nursing him, or Anne's nursing him rather. Charles says he wants to go for dinner, and Mary's like, how can you abandon your son and heir for a dinner? And then she abandons her son and heir for a dinner because she wants to go as well.
Yeah, well, I think she just doesn't want to be left behind.
Yes, but I also think she wants to go to dinner.
Yeah, but I think if he'd been like, we must stay with the child, she would have been like, okay, yeah.
Yeah, I think Charles just doesn't want to see her. Doesn't want to be around her.
Yeah, like, I feel a bit sorry for her.
Yeah, I do as well. But also, I'm kind of like, if I was Charles, I probably wouldn't want to spend time with her either.
Yeah, but you wouldn't marry her.
I wouldn't, but just saying. Yeah, Anne's like, I'll stay and nurse wee Charles because I don't want to go to dinner because I don't want to see Captain. She didn't say that, but that's her motivation. Mary says to Anne, if there's anything disagreeable, men are sure to get out of it, because he was just like, I don't need to nurse Charles, we should go to dinner.
She's right.
Yeah, it's true. Mary says, well, you're the best person to do it because you haven't a mother's feelings. Like, you don't care about the child, so you're probably the best person to look after it. Apparently, like, after dinner, they report that Wentworth did inquire after Anne slightly. Charles's head pops up at the window and he's like, Captain Wentworth is coming to call. So he arrives and Anne's like, blushing emoji.
I think this is when she grips the chair in panic. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't deal with the, like, the not saying anything. Like, I know she can't say anything.
What is she going
to
say?
God, there's so much pent-up emotion in there. It's actually, like, frustrating to watch.
I mean, that's kind of the point of the film / book. Then they go shooting with Wentworth and, like, the women are there. And he goes, do your women often go shooting, Charles? And he's like, no. But Mary's decided she wants to be part of it. They're at dinner now and Wentworth's talking about his sea travels.
Mm-hmm.
And they, like, Admiral and Mrs. Croft are talking about, like, them being married and sailing together. And Mrs. Croft was like, I never got sick, actually, when we were together. Like, when I was with my husband, I never got ill. But only when I was alone on the boat, I did get a bit ill. But basically, it's like they're really happy together and kind of being like, oh, imagine if I had been a sailor's wife. And then Henry Hayter turns up, because we found out earlier that Henrietta has an understanding with a guy called Henry Hayter, who is her cousin.
Also, just before this, they look up, like, so Wentworth is kind of almost flirting with the girls at dinner, and he's being, like, his charming self, and they're, like, just, every time he mentions a ship that he's worked on, they, like, look it up in this, like, directory of ships, and I was like, God, I hate this. They're, like, stroking his ego.
Yeah, they really fancy him.
So, and, they just keep, they're like, oh my God, I found the ship, and he's like, yeah, I was on that ship, and I'm like, oh, yeah. You like it almost feels like he's playing it up because Anne's there.
Yeah, I wonder, because he's just like, look at me now. But yeah, so then they're dancing happily with Captain Wentworth, and then Henry Hayter turns up and to see Henrietta, and he sees her dancing with Wentworth, and he walks off. He's mad. Mm. I'm like, people dance with each other. It's not...
Also, I don't remember seeing Henry Hayter in the other ones. I know he was mentioned.
But... I think they went to see him at some point or something. Well, like, I think he did turn up, actually, but like, I don't think it was a big deal. And I don't think he walked off like that, but anyway. So then Mary and Mary invites herself and then everyone else on a walk, because I think Henrietta and Louisa were wanting to go on a walk so they could discuss the stuff with Henry Hayter and Wentworth and stuff. And then Mary's like, I want to go on a walk. And they're like, it's a very long walk. And she's like, I can do it. And then she invites everyone else.
Yeah, and I was like, you really, like, Louisa and Henry, like, Henrietta actively dislike Mary. Like, they don't want to be around her at all.
Yeah. And then on this walk, they bump into Frederick and Charles on the way, and they join them. Charles wants to visit Aunt Hayter, and he asks Henrietta to come with him because he wants to mend the bond between Henry and Henrietta, the two Henrys.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary really doesn't want her to because she thinks that Henry Hayter is, like, not good enough because she's a snob, because she's an Elliot.
Yeah, and they really kind of have a proper tiff at this point.
Yeah.
Like, they really, like, there's a lot of, like, anger. Like, he's really mad at Mary because she won't go with him.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, I'm tired and I can't walk any further and we have to go back now. Charles's like, no, we have, like, a duty to my aunt. And Mary's like, no. And then, so Mary takes Henrietta, because Henrietta doesn't have very much, like, in, like, she doesn't do things on her own.
Yeah, this is a really weird moment, though, because obviously, like, we know Henrietta doesn't want to marry Henry.
Well, yeah, there's kind of she's conflicted about it.
And so, like, Mary kind of grabs her and is like, yeah, we'll walk off. But then she chooses her loyalty to Charles, and she does go to Charles.
No, because Henrietta's with Louisa, right? No, Henrietta's with Mary, sorry. And then Louisa grabs Henrietta, runs her over to Charles, and then runs back. So that Henrietta is with Charles now.
Oh, so, yeah, see, I wasn't really sure what's going on there, but that makes more sense, because obviously Louisa wants Captain Wentworth.
Yeah.
So it's easier if Henrietta is married.
Yeah.
Too.
But also Louisa has, like, more guts in terms, like, rather than Henrietta, who's just like, nah, I don't know what to do. And as they're walking, Frederick notices that Anne is tired, and then they bump into the Crofts in a carriage, and he goes and whispers to Mrs. Croft, who then offers Anne a seat in the carriage.
Yeah, because I was like, is this, like, an act of kindness? Because it's almost like separating her from the group, and she kind of sees it like that, I think. She's like, oh, he wants rid of me.
I don't know, because...
And I was like, is he doing that because he doesn't want her to have to walk back?
I think he's trying to be attentive to her needs, actually.
Yeah, I do think that's what he was doing. It's like an act of kindness.
But it could be interpreted either way, I guess.
Yeah, and I think she interprets it as he doesn't want her around.
And what I'm sad about is that they didn't do the scene where he, like, puts her onto the carriage.
He lifts her, though, and it's weird.
Lift her onto the carriage. She gets in by herself.
No, he definitely helps her in. He helps her in because they zoom in on the touching.
In 2008, he, like, puts her on.
I know, like a child in a high chair.
It's kind of hot. Anyway.
Is it kind of hot? I thought it was weird.
Well, just being lifted, you know.
Ooh, no, I found it, like, similar to putting a child in a high chair.
Well, it's kind of both. But I feel like when you're just unexpectedly...
I suppose it's like
into someone's arms, if
demonstrating of strength.
Yeah, and also just like
sexy.
Being touching one's waist and being Frederick is looking at a letter, who he says is from Captain Harville, who's one of his buddies, who I think they maybe had some little romantic liaisons on the boat. That's my headcanon.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's so happy to hear from him, and he's like, yeah, come and visit me in Lyme. And then they're like, oh, we've never been to Lyme, Regis. So Frederick invites them all to come with him. I've just written Fred and Harville on navel gaze. Mm. Navel gazing. Navel gaze. He goes to introduce... So when he meets Harville, he's really happy to see him and his wife. He goes to introduce them to Charles first. And Mary's really mad about the fact that he's trying to introduce them to Charles instead of the women first. Because apparently that's a thing.
I don't think that is a thing, though. I think you'd introduce them to the man first, and then the man would introduce the women.
Maybe. Anyway, Mary was mad about it. So then he's like, oh, this is Mary. Then Anne starts talking. So, oh, sorry. At Harville's place, there's also a guy called Captain Benwick, who is, he was engaged to Captain Harville's sister, but then Captain Harville's sister died while they were at sea. So he's really sad.
Yeah, he's just like a really heartbroken man. Him and Anne bond.
Yep, over their heartbrokenness.
And I find that bit really interesting because they're talking about poetry.
Yeah.
And, like, their favourite poets and all of that. And then, like, Anne kind of implies that she also likes poetry because he's just, like, waffling on about poetry. Then Captain Benwick definitely has a, like, name three of their albums moment because he's like, there's no way this woman likes poetry.
So he starts reciting poetry and then
and she like finishes it off and tells him who it is and he's like, oh, okay, she does like poetry.
And then they're just reciting poetry at the dinner table, like they're not even having a conversation anymore.
Because at that point, when I first watched this, I was like, is something going to happen with Benwick? Like,
I know, I thought that as well, but no. I think they're too alike.
They're just two sad people together.
Yeah. And then Anne says to him, like, too much poetry might be unsafe for you because it's really sad. Have you thought about reading some novels? And he's like, you don't know the depths of my despair. Phoebe, who is Captain Harville's sister, would have married him before he went to sea, but he said that they should wait so that he had more money. So he's just like, ugh.
Yeah. And then she compares it to her heartbreak, which is a bit weird.
Yeah, and I'm kind of like, okay, but Captain Wentworth isn't dead, though, is he?
And also, you did decline him.
Yeah, that was you.
I know you were persuaded in that way, but, like, you did make that choice.
That was on you.
They were, like, ripped apart by death.
Yeah.
By that. And also, though, Captain Wentworth is watching this whole thing. And he definitely is, like, pleased because, obviously, Benwick is sad. And he's like, oh, Anne's looking after Benwick.
Yeah.
Because nobody really wants to talk to Benwick at the moment because he's so sad.
He's a Debbie Downer.
Yeah, like, they're just like, oh, my God, he's really sad. And they don't really want to deal with it. Yeah. So he's like, oh, I'm glad that Anne's being attached herself to him.
He's, like, remembering the things that he likes about Anne. So then they all go down the stairs and a hot guy passes them. And Anne is, like, looking, like, sort of bumps into him. Well, no, he passes them, and Anne's sort of like, who is that? She's also, I noticed at this point, starting to look better. I think maybe, like, it's the makeup and the clothes and stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's, like, the sea air or whatever.
Yeah.
And then, in the next scene, she bumps into the hot guy when she's on her own.
Yeah, and isn't she, like, not properly dressed?
I don't know about that. I thought
she was wearing like a sort of robe thing.
Oh, I don't know.
And he was like, oh,
but
sorry.
She wouldn't be in the corridor if that was the case.
Yeah, but if she needed to go to the bathroom or something.
Maybe. Anyway, so then they find out later because his carriage is outside and they're like, oh, whose carriage is that? And they're like, oh, this guy called Mr. Elliot. And they're like, oh, is that like relation to Anne and Mary Elliot? And then Mary's like, oh, I want to go and, like, introduce myself. And Anne's like, he's not in speaking terms with our dad. I don't think our dad would like that.
Mm.
And then Benwick goes and wants to say something to Anne, but they get interrupted, and I'm not sure what he's going to say to her. Like, I was like, maybe he's trying to propose to Anne.
Oh, my God, so soon. He's still heartbroken.
I know. But then he gets over it so quick with Louisa.
I don't think he does. I think, like, months have passed by that point.
Still. Anyway, I don't know what he wants, unless he wants to talk to her, because I feel like maybe Benwick talks to her about the fact that Wentworth still likes her.
Yeah.
Or something. I don't know what he's going to say, but anyway. Then Louisa goes to jump off the cob.
Oh my God, I like this bit because it's just mad.
It's ridiculous.
So, like, yeah, obviously she's, like, been jumping down the steps and Wentworth has been catching her.
Well, one, the first time, she's like, catch me, and he does. And he's like, oh my god. And then she's like, catch me again! And he's like, no, stop with this.
And also, she goes like so much higher and also just says, catch me, and he's like not close enough to be able to do it.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, stop. And then she just jumps anyway and then
bangs her head.
Cracks her head open.
And she's, yeah, unconscious. So Anne immediately is in charge of the situation. And is like directing, like Wentworth is like freaking out, doesn't know what to do. And he's like, oh, go and get a doctor. And she's like, no, send Bennett to get a doctor. And
because he knows where he is.
Yeah.
This is like his town.
And then they're at home with Louisa, and Wentworth is like, Anne should stay. She's the like most, there's no one more proper than Anne to be nursing him. And then she walks in and Mary's like, no, I'm his mum.
Who's mum? What?
Oh, sorry. No, she's her sister or something, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, because they're going to take her to her parents, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. So Mary's like, oh, no, because it's my sister-in-law. I want to do it. And then so Anne goes with Wentworth in the carriage to go and tell Louisa's parents.
Whose mum absolutely starts screaming.
Loses her shit. And in the carriage, Wentworth is like, I regret that. And then he stops and he's like, damned foolish. So probably just like, I regret
being
a dick. Or maybe I regret not marrying you. Don't know. And then, yeah, Louise's mum goes full screaming hyena. And then Anne is like pacing around and Charles comes in to tell his mum, because Anne's, I guess, at the Musgraves now.
Yeah.
To tell his mum that Louisa is now conscious. So Anne then, knowing that Louisa's fine, goes to Bath to see her family.
Yeah.
And so we're all just like, so pleased that you're here, Anne, because now we'll make a four at dinner and that's so much better than three. Like, yeah. And then they're describing this event that they're going to go to and he's like, oh yeah, there's going to be a concert to be given in Italian and a display of fireworks. Oh, but Lady Dalrymple's coming. Oh my god, that's so exciting. Like, okay.
Yeah, and Elizabeth is like an absolute nightmare as well. I really dislike Elizabeth.
Yeah, she's awful. And then Mr. Elliot arrives. And they're sort of like, why is he here? Because they don't get on. And Lady Russell's like, well, he's a widower now, so maybe he like has really realised the value of blood connection because he doesn't have a wife anymore. And Anne thinks that he's wants to court Elizabeth.
Elizabeth thinks he wants to court her.
Yeah. And then they bump into the Crofts and they're like, how was the discussion group? And they're like, the atheists were routed. It's like, okay, whatever's going on there. And then Anne hears Mrs. Clay saying she should maybe leave Bath. And because she was like, well, now Anne's here. And they're both like, no, we don't care about Anne. You need to stay. Like, then Anne's like, sorry, but oh no, I don't know. She's just not stoked to see Lady Dalrymple, and Elizabeth's like, she's I can't remember what title she has, but she's like a
she's above them, so they're like very excited.
And she's like, I cannot believe you're not more excited. She's really mad about it. And then Sir Walter's like, your skin looks good. Have you been using Gowland's lotion, which is like mercury? I found out because I researched. Yeah. So he was just like, yes, it's the best thing. And then they went, they see Lady Dalrymple again, and Anne says to Mr. Elliot, because she's gotten chatting with Mr. Elliot, that she wasn't that impressed with Lady Dalrymple.
I do think she is flirting with Mr. Elliot a bit.
A bit, yeah, because they seem to get on, like, he's like, she says he's got very proper opinions or whatever, correct opinions. Like, I think they kind of, the way that he's acting, it's like they have similar kind of ideas about things. Not everything, but some things. And I think it just because, like, around her family, like, nobody gives a shit about her. So, like, he's paying attention to her and being like, oh, yeah, you are so right. And I think it's just like, oh, it's quite nice for this, like, hot dude to be like, yeah, you're so right. So, and then Mr. Elliot says, oh, yeah, because she's like, oh, I think that the best company is people that are, like, kind and interesting to speak to and stuff. And he's like, that's not good company, that's the best company. Because he's like, good company is always worth having because it can connect you with other people. So there's still that element of, like, he being a bit of a networker. So then she's like, yeah, I'm not going to see Lady Dalrymple. I'm going to see my friend Mrs. Smith because she's now a widow and she's ill. Which is another, like, she's quite a good sick woman character, yeah. Mrs. Smith. We were watching this with my flatmate and she was like, Mrs. Smith and her maid, who gives her all the gossip, are gay. They're definitely gay.
Anne's, like, refusing to change her plans because she's made these plans with Mrs. Smith.
Yeah.
And she's like, she's my friend. We went to school together. I'm going to go see her. She's sick as well. And, like, she doesn't get a lot of visitors. I'm not going to, like, change this. And he's, like, going on and on. And then Mrs. Clay leaves. And then Anne is like, she's not the only widower with no
connections.
No connections in Bath. Like, being very clear that Mrs. Clay is the same as Mrs. Smith.
Yeah,
savage. And he's like...
Oh my god.
Rude. This is like Anne's taking control of her life.
Yeah, so she really is like, I'm not taking any more bullshit. And then she sees the Crofts and Admiral Croft tells Anne that, in fact she didn't see the Crofts, just she bumps into Admiral Croft and he's like, hey, did you hear that Louisa is going to marry Bennick? Which, I'm not sure if that which way it happens in the books, because I think in the 2008 one it's a whole thing where she's like, oh, he's gonna get married, but then she doesn't know who he's marrying. Well, Louise is gonna get married rather, I think, is the thing. But actually, yeah, she's so Admiral Croft is like saying this in a way to Anne that suggests that he knows everything that's going on, because he's like, now he's unshackled and free. And I'm like, do you know something?
Like, referring to Wentworth.
Yeah, Wentworth.
Yeah, because Anne thought Wentworth liked Louisa, so she's like, oh, he must be so sad. And what's his name, Croft, is like,
no, he's actually fine.
He's chill. So it's kind of like got Anne thinking. She's like, oh, maybe he didn't want to marry Louisa.
She sees Wentworth through the window, and he's like, because I guess she looks really good now.
Yeah, and they zoom in on her face so much whenever she's with Wentworth.
Yeah.
And it's so weird.
And then he does it like Mr. Darcy-esque. Are your family in good health?
Mm.
Yes. Are you in good health? Yes.
Mm.
And then he's like, as you can see, I'm already prepared for Bath. I bought an extra umbrella. So he gives her this umbrella and she takes it. But then Mr. Elliot turns up and he's like, hey, we're going. And so she gives the umbrella back and it's like, Anne, take the goddamn umbrella.
I know. And it's kind of like saying, oh, I'm with Mr. Elliot now.
Yeah. It's like, oh. Then they're at the Italian concert with the fireworks.
I get so annoyed at this.
It is very annoying. Because, yeah. Anyway, we'll get to it. So they're at the concert and they talk. Because he's there. She invites him to the concert, sorry, when they're at the tea room. And she's like talking to him about Bennick and Louisa, and he's like, I don't think that he's really over Phoebe. Like, he shouldn't be over Phoebe. A man does not get over such a devotion to such a woman. He ought not. He does not.
This whole scene. So, yeah, then they're ending up watching the concert.
Anne's translating the Italian for Mr. Elliot.
And then, like, Wentworth kind of leaves.
Yeah, because he's, like, he's bigging Anne up, being like, the world is not aware of half your accomplishments. Do you take my meaning or must I translate for you? And then clearly Wentworth's like, I'm not staying around for this. So he, like, walks off. And Anne immediately goes after him. And I'm like, Wentworth, can you see what's happening here?
Yeah, like, she goes after him.
She goes to him.
And then I get really annoyed because he's, like, being, like, a moody, grumpy man.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, my God, she doesn't like me again. This is ridiculous.
She goes, the next song is a beautiful love song. Isn't that worth staying for? Wentworth!
And then he's like, there's nothing here worth me staying. And I'm like, oh, my God, Anne, you look so desperate. Like, just explain to the moody man that you aren't with. You literally just be like, just go, there is nothing between me and Mr. Elliot. And that would have solved this whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, both of them were just being ridiculous, because he could have just been like, are you gonna marry Mr. Elliot? Well, he does do that later, to be fair. So Louisa, they're talking about Louisa, and they say, I think it's Henrietta's like, I wonder that she'll want a ribbon at all because she's so severe now. Like, because she's married to Bennett now, so she's like a big poetry gal.
She's become emo.
Yeah, she's become emo. And Wentworth and Harville arrive, according to my notes. They arrive. And they invite people to come to the theatre with them. And Anne can't because she's got this party at Camden Place, which is where her family is staying. Anne's saying, like, they're like, where's Mr. Elliot gone? She's like, oh, he's gone away for a few days. And then they look out the window and he's there with Mrs. Clay.
And I'm like, lol, he's really been caught out there. Exposed. Like, what are the... Yeah, because Mary is like, oh, he's out there.
I've just seen him.
And then Anne is like, no, you can't have seen him. He's gone. To be fair, like, the one time Anne takes a stand, she's wrong. And then Mary's like, I think I know what my cousin looks like. And I'm like, at least Mary gets a little bit of, like... Yeah, like, she has a little bit of
vindication.
Every time Mary says something, she's like... You're wrong. Or, like, not Anne says you're wrong, but someone will be
wrong.
Mary, you're ridiculous. You don't know what you're talking about.
Wrong.
And she's literally like, she's right there.
So, then, they're like, oh my God, he's definitely up to no good. And Lady Russell starts defending him.
Also, is this where Lady Russell is wearing an absolute mad hat and cape ensemble?
Yes, because I've written Lady Russell's outfits, ma'am.
Yeah, like, she's got an absolute mad... She's got, like, a flat top hat on.
Yeah.
Like, a short top hat.
Yeah.
And a matching cape. Yeah. And I'm like, what are you wearing?
It's very bizarre. Then Captain Wentworth turns up again to say that... to talk to Anne, and he's like, if you plan to marry Mr. Elliot, then the Admiral says that you can have Kellynch Hall back. He won't rent it anymore. He's just like, just tell me yes or no. And she's like, why does everyone think that I'm marrying Mr. Elliot?
Yeah, that's how she replies. And I'm like, oh my God, just be like, I'm not marrying Mr. Elliot.
Yeah, but like, she's like, why does everyone think that? Which would imply that she's not.
Yeah, to be fair, she's been quite clear, but he's a little Dumbo, isn't he?
Yeah. So, he's just like, yes or no. And she's like, and then he just walks off, I think.
Before she says yes or no.
Yeah. And because he's like, I know this might sound impertinent, but this is what the Admiral's told me to say. And I'm like, really? Really? So then she goes to see Mrs. Smith instead of Lady Dalrymple. And she's like, oh, so we've heard that you're going to get married to Mr. Elliot. And she's like, no, why does everyone think that? Mrs. Smith's like, oh, thank God.
Because he's a wrong'un.
He's a wrong'un.
And it turns out
my
mate.
Girlfriend made.
I would like that if they were together. That would be fun. Because they're like little pals. And obviously Mrs.
Gal pals.
Little pals, yeah, gal pals.
Very close friends that
live
together.
Very close friends that live together for 20 years.
Very close.
Because also what's really nice about their relationship is like Mrs. Smith can't get out. So like the maid lady like brings all the gossip in.
Brings all the gossip.
Like she kind of does it to cheer her up, basically. And I'm like, she's such a good like... caretaker of woman, like she clearly has like affection for her, and it's not a job, she does it because she is a job. It is a job and she's getting paid, but like because she was literally like,
I doubt she's getting paid very much because this woman's really poor.
Well, this woman said he left me enough money for, I can't remember her name, but he left just enough money to keep her in that very small house and for her to have this caretaker. And then she's like, this is the best money I've spent. And the woman's like, yeah, it is. Like, because she's like a really like working class woman in comparison to the other people.
Yeah.
But she actually reminds me of the maid in Northern South.
Oh yeah, Dixon.
Dixon. She's very like Dixon in North and South.
So yeah, Mrs. Smith's like, well, apparently I've heard that he needs another loan, and Anne's like, another loan? And apparently he's like lost all his money because he's like gambling or something. So he's trying to get back on the good side of the Elliot so that he can inherit
the money. One of the daughters.
And because Anne is the, he's like, maybe he's like, oh, no one wants Anne, so I'll just go for Anne and then she'll marry me. I think, well, it's unclear whether he like genuinely really likes Anne, but also is like, this is my plan.
Yeah, because he's colluding somehow with Mrs. Clay.
Collusion. So then they're at, he comes to the party at Camden Place, I think. Mr. Elliot does. No, not Mr. Elliot. Wentworth. Because I think Anne's like, come to the party. So he's writing his letter. I don't know actually if it's the party because Harville's there. So it might have been someone else's house. Anyway, they're at a house. Wentworth is writing a letter, which Harville says, I've got to get this painting of Bennick reset because it was originally for my sister and I can't bear to do it. So Wentworth's writing the letter to get it done for me. He's not. Spoiler alert, he's not. She's like, oh my goodness, so sorry. But we don't forget you as soon as you forget us. Like, basically saying about Bennick being, like, moving on super fast. And Harville's like, no, you don't know anything about being a man who's on sailing on the sea and he doesn't know when he's going to see his wife again. And, Wentworth's listening and he like drops his inkwell at some point. And he's like,
this bit I do quite like. Yeah. I like it when they're getting really angsty and it's getting very close to like them being together.
Yeah, and he's like, Harville's like, I've read much of women's fickleness, and she was like, who wrote the books though?
Men. So
boom.
This I realised watching North and South actually, I really like, I love it when the man is longing for the woman.
Yearning.
And like the woman, yeah, like you know how even though he's like an asshole and he needs his redemption arc, but he is like horny for Margaret Hale from the beginning.
Yeah, so horny.
And I'm like, oh my god, yes, I find him yearning for her very attractive. Basically, when men are like obvious about their intentions towards women, I'm like, that's attractive.
Yeah,
because they're not playing games. Well, they are playing games, but they're being stupid.
Yeah. So, and then Anne's like, yeah, but like women love longest when all hope is gone, right? Because like once, if someone's like died or like gone forever, a man will move on. But a woman, like, no matter whether like there's any chance of it, them being together, like they still hang on. And then everyone goes to leave, Wentworth leaves, and then he's like, I forgot my umbrella. And he comes back and he puts the letter on the table.
And then he kind of looks at her as well, as if to be like, that letter is for you.
Yeah. So she picks it up and it just says, you pierce my soul. And she's like, blush emoji. For you alone, I think and plan. I'm half agony, half hope, blah, blah, blah. A word, a look will be enough to decide if I enter your father's house this evening. That's the Camden Place party.
Mm-hmm.
So then she's like on the way to Camden Place and they bump into Captain Wentworth. And Charles like, I actually have to go do something. So would you like walk her to the party, please?
And they're just like, honestly, just like staring at each other so awkwardly.
There's still a very long kiss. I don't know why in Persuasion it's so long. But like as in, I mean, it happens quicker than the other one. But they're still quite like,
to be fair though as well, what I really like is Charles does not get the message again in this one. Like he continues to talk like when Anne, I also really missed the running scene of the last adaptation.
Yeah.
Like, I really wanted her to be running after him.
Yeah.
But she just kind of catches up with him quite quickly. They yeah. lose a lot of that what's that word, like build up.
Yeah.
Also there's no music in this. I noticed this. There's
oh, yeah.
only like music if it's in a scene,
yeah.
like where it's appropriate. And I was like, I think it really lacks that build up of
yeah.
like getting your emotions heightened yeah. by the build-up of the music.
So he's like, I tried to forget you, and they kiss. And then there's carnival people in the
yeah,
background.
Yeah, I was like, there's literally a circus going through
Bath.
I literally went, they really got a circus going through the background. They really went for that.
Why, though? For what?
And I think it actually, they did that to have music.
Maybe.
Because they don't have music. And I just think it...
Just put some music in the background.
I think it really showed the lack of music. Mm. Because what they needed was like nice like plinky plonky piano.
Plinky
plinky. Build up. And I just thought the circus was an odd choice of background to have for this scene. Weird. It almost takes you out of it. Because it's supposed to be like this really lovely romantic scene and you've just got like children playing in that. But like, it's just weird.
Yeah. So now, we're at the party at Camden Place.
To be fair, actually, I went, maybe they're leaving the Circus of Bath behind.
Oh my god. So then, yeah, they're at the party, and Elizabeth says to Anne, when Captain Wentworth arrives, you must not immobilise him. It's a very bad habit of yours. And Anne's like, hmm. Lady Russell talks to Anne, and she's like, you're older now, and when you make a decision, Anne, you need to stick with it. Then Wentworth turns up.
Wait, sorry, Lady Russell here then goes, I made a decision referring to her marriage, and she was like, I am married until I die. And I was like, this is such a bleak way of saying until death do us part. I mean, until death do us part is quite bleak anyway.
Her husband's dead as well. So like...
But no, wait, is Lady Russell's husband dead? Because she literally goes, and I am married until I die. Oh yeah, I think because she's saying she won't move on.
No.
Because she got married to that man.
Yeah.
Even though kind of the way she says that sounds like as if she wasn't that into the marriage.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I am married until... it's just so bleak.
Bleak.
And it's almost like she's trying to persuade her out of it again.
Maybe, yeah.
Because she's like, remember, you are married until you die, so is this really what you want?
Well, I guess she's just being like, make sure you know what you want.
Yeah.
But, and then Wentworth turns up, and he like... So Walter's like, hey, come sit down, whatever. And he's like, no, I'm here on business. Can I marry your daughter, please? And then they're like... yeah, I guess. And then he leaves. And it's just like, oh, okay, you're not going to stay at all? Or just going to go home now? And so Walter's like, you want to marry Anne? Whatever for?
And yeah, I know. They're like, why would you want to do that? And I'm like, oh my god, do you have to humiliate her at every...
And then Wentworth, like, laughs. Starts grinning. And then the ship sails off.
Then they're both on a ship.
Yeah, Anne's now become the new Mrs. Croft. They're going to be sailing together on the seas.
Yeah, and I was like, oh my god, she on a ship. Yep. Which is what, in the last adaptation, he buys Kellidge Hall for her.
Yes, he does. And they live in Kellidge Hall.
I don't know what happens in the book. I never got that far.
I think, I don't know, actually. Can't remember.
But
the end.
So yes, that's the end of the film. I enjoyed it. I thought the other adaptation was better. I think it had more of a like steamy romance.
Yeah, they were hotter.
You kind of felt the tension a bit more.
Yeah.
Although the kiss at the end really threw you out of it, because the kiss at the end was horrible.
God. Horrendous.
It was really bad. Also, imagine having to film that. Like, Jesus Christ. That haunts my dreams.
And they must have done it several times as well.
Because they had several different angles of the kiss.
And I'm wondering, like, did they do one where it was quick and they were like, this isn't good enough, got to be a really slow and awkward.
I like, honestly, I know that it's like Regency era, but for once, I want a steamy kiss.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're really, like...
What about Henry Tilney and Catherine Morland?
I wouldn't say that was steamy, it felt weird.
Well, she pushed him against the tree.
No, I didn't get the, like, oh. Do you know what I mean?
No, maybe not.
Oh. Like... You kind of get it a little bit in Pride and Prejudice. 2005? Is it 2005?
They don't kiss. Well, they do it the extra bit.
They kiss at the end, don't they? Oh, no, he just holds her face.
Yeah.
He just holds her face. That's what I mean. It's like, they build up this, like, longing and wanting and yearning, and you're like, and then it's almost like they pull out and leave you hanging.
Yeah. Nope, you get nothing.
Like, nothing for you.
You lose!
Lady Catherine to beg like that? Don't you know it's because she's a Virgo? Why is Mr. Darcy a twat, my friend? Can't you see it's because he's a Capricorn? Astrology
corner. Star signs. We can discuss this. I'm going to write down some characters so we know which ones to do.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we're starting with Anne.
Kate said to me, because we watched the film together,
yeah,
that Anne is the Sagittarius moon. And I think that's an interesting concept, because Sagittarius is all about travel. Anne is, like, about that travelling. Like, she wants to explore.
Yeah.
And I think that's Sagittarius moon vibes. And then I think she is a Cancer
sun. I think she might be a Pisces.
No, she's too grounded for that. I think she's a Cancer rising, maybe, and a Taurus sun, or no, because she's very, like, convincible, I guess. She might be a Libra.
Yeah.
Because she, like, cares about justice and stuff. And also is, like, quite a people pleaser. So I think maybe she's a Cancer sun and a Libra rising.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah, I see it. She's got a lot of, like, she's just such a repressed person in the beginning. And it's, like, to the point where it's very frustrating. I'm like, oh my god. Because she's repressed with everything. Like, not just with her romantic feelings.
Yeah, she might be a Capricorn rising.
Wentworth.
She's not blunt enough to be a Capricorn rising, to be fair. Maybe she's a Virgo.
She does get blunt near the end, then.
Yeah, she's not critical enough to be a Virgo.
No.
Although she does notice, she does kind of see through Mr. Elliot.
And also, she, like, I think she does tell Charles off.
Yeah, maybe she's a Virgo.
And she's quite, like, you maybe need to be better. Maybe she's
a Virgo rising and a Cancer sign.
Because she does seem to want to make people better people.
Yeah, I think she has some kind of earth in her chart.
She's an earthy woman.
Yeah.
Wentworth likes earthy women.
I think Wentworth is a Gemini rising, because he is very charismatic. And, like, sometimes he does stuff that he doesn't necessarily mean, like how they think that he really fancies Louisa, but he's just being nice. And he kind of, like, yeah, he's got those two sides to him.
I think Mary Hayter.
I haven't decided what Wentworth's son is yet. Maybe he's a he's a Gemini something anyway. Mary Hayter. She is, I think, Pisces with some kind of Taurus.
She's got very, like, difficult, and I kind of associate
stubborn
with Taurus. That kind of, like, wonder, niggly, annoying thing of, like, just being a bit. You know, some people just, it's almost like they want to assert their authority by being a bit difficult.
Yeah.
So they're like, I'm not happy with this. And even though they'd be fine if it went one way, they have to just be like, actually, no, I need to voice this and be a bit difficult.
Yeah.
And I really hate people like that. But I still feel sorry for Mary.
Charles.
I'm interested in Charles because I really didn't like Charles in this adaptation. Until he did his comedy bit at the end where he didn't get out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
When they're trying to keep smoochy smooch.
Yeah. I think he might be a Capricorn because he just doesn't take Mary's nonsense and he kind of just removes himself from the situation.
Yeah, and he kind of has that savageness. Yeah. Of, like, being like, I don't like this, so I'm not dealing with it.
Yeah, and then, like, when he's trying to make, like, he's very aware of, like, his duty to go and see his aunt and to take Henrietta with him and stuff. Like, he's just not going to budge on that.
Yeah.
So I think he's a Capricorn.
Lady Russell.
I think Lady Russell could be a, I think she's an air sign. Maybe a Gemini. I don't know.
She's very, like, maternal.
She is, and I want to say maybe Cancer, but I feel like that's maybe simplifying it too much.
She's got wild outlooks.
Yeah, she's just, like, a bit of a strange one, isn't she? Like, she's trying to do the best for maybe she's not an Aquarius.
No.
I think she might be a Gemini.
Yeah, I see that. Sir Elliot.
Although she's quite practical, so she could be a Virgo.
I thought about
she
Virgo.
She could be a Virgo, actually, because she's quite critical.
Yeah.
And she just, like, advises people all the time.
And, like, even if... The thing about, like, obviously, I'm sure lots of Virgos are very, like, good advice. But actually, I imagine... Not all Virgos will give good advice. They'll just think their advice is good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I see that. Because I was thinking about Virgo, and then I was like, but sometimes she just says wild shit that makes no sense. But she thinks it's correct, so...
Yeah.
Mr. Elliot.
Mr. Elliot.
Wait, Sir Elliot, sorry, not Mr. Elliot.
Sir Walter. Yeah. I think he's a Libra.
Yes, he cares a lot about appearances and how he's viewed.
And socialising with the right people.
I didn't really put Elizabeth because I just don't think we see her enough.
We don't see enough of Elizabeth, really.
And I got rid of Mrs. Clay because I just don't think we see
her. We don't see much of her, to be honest.
I did put Mr. Elliot in, though, because I think we see enough.
Mr. Elliot's a Scorpio, no doubt.
Just a straight-up Scorpio. And then I've got Louisa.
I think Louisa is a fire sign. I think she might be an Aries.
I knew there was an Aries in there, and I was like, where have I got this Aries energy from? And it's, her, like, absolute mad.
Yeah, just like, I'm doing this thing!
Yeah, like, also, like, she did decide she was going after Wentworth, and she did that by, like...
She's, like, very fiery and, like, just like, I'm doing this thing and I don't care.
And she's doing that thing of, like, I'm going after it.
Yeah.
And whatever may be.
Yeah.
Henrietta is a bit more...
She's indecisive, and I wonder if she's a bit of a, like, Pisces.
Yeah, she seems a bit, like, sad about her situation, but not willing to do.
Yeah.
Because she just... She marry him?
She marries Henry Hater.
Yeah. So she just do that in the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Well, she normally, could be a Libra. She might be a Libra, actually, because she's so indecisive.
Because Jane doesn't normally do that, to be fair. Like, Jane will have good characters end up marrying new people, like Louisa and Bennick coming together. And, like, the characters who are bad end up marrying people that they didn't want to marry.
I don't think she didn't want to marry him. I think she quite liked him, but she also is torn between, like, because Wentworth...
He's, like, a new sexy sailor man.
Yeah, and he's, like, mm-hmm. It seemed like he was kind of...
He's quite dashing. He's a bit old for her, though.
Yeah.
But, yeah, interesting. And then I think that was all.
Ratings.
We will not forget to rate. We have to do this together now, and it's way worse.
I know.
We're not going to do it, I'm sorry.
What? Oh, the song.
This is the song. I don't do
that. This is the song that we play when we remember to rate the adaptation.
No.
This is the song that we play when we remember to do the thing.
Ba-da-da-da.
That was so hard.
I fucked up at the end. I forgot the beat. I think the other adaptation was better.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it, though. I really liked Persuasion, so obviously I liked it.
Yeah.
I like it, even though I hate Anne.
I don't hate Anne.
I think, though, I find the Wentworth character really sexy in that part of the reason.
He is, like, very charismatic and quite sexy, but...
I think he's my top Jane man.
I thought you liked Mr. Darcy.
I do like Mr. Darcy, but I think Wentworth is actually a more, like, grounded...
Yeah, he's quite
version.
Straightforward and, like...
Yeah, like, he's grumpy, but he has a reason to be grumpy, and he's not going to be grumpy unnecessarily.
And he writes a hot letter.
Yeah.
He would be good at sexting.
Yeah, like, he seems a bit more passionate than Darcy. Like, Darcy is passionate, but he's...
He's less reserved.
Yeah, he's just, like, you could take him to meet your friends, and it would not be, like, embarrassing
for
you.
Yeah,
like, he wouldn't just be, like, the grumpy man in the corner who's a bit rude.
Yeah.
People do have that husband or partner, and I'm like, oh, my God, how do you deal with this? But, I think Wentworth is more appealable that way. I do like Anne, but I kind of like my women to be my women. I like my
protagonist. I like my coffee.
Strong. Genuinely, though, that's why I like Lizzie Bennet over Anne. Like, that slightly. But then she kind of gets it in the end. Like, when she says she's rude about Mrs. Clay, I'm like, yeah, I'll speech. And when she wants to see Mrs. Smith, I'm like, she does it kind of...
Yeah, she doesn't back down about the important things
in
life. And she has a character development where she's, like, quite unpersuadable at the beginning. And then she...
Yeah, so I think, the story's good. The acting is good. Like, they don't... there's nothing wrong with it particularly like that. The aesthetics, I think, lack, but it was in 95. But I think there's more, like, fancy films in 95. Yeah. So they could have done a bit better with that.
Yeah.
Probably didn't have the budget for it. I did think some of the casting, like, you know when you watch all these adaptations and you're like, if you could pick one actor from one film and put them in the other film,
yeah,
it would, like, make this perfect
Dreamcast
Austin adaptation. I think she was actually quite a good Anne, but I do prefer Sally Phillips.
Sally Phillips
would also make a good, no, she's too much of a comedy actor.
I don't know who that is.
She's the sweary friend in Bridget Jones.
Okay.
Sally, I really like Sally Hawkins and Rupert Primrose-Jones, and I think if they didn't do that dodgy kiss at the end, it could have been
great.
Could have been something. I think Mary Croft is quite well cast, and so is Charles, and so are the girls.
Hater, you mean?
Yes, sorry. Sir Elliot, Sir Walter.
I love well Anthony. Cast. What's his name?
Hopkins.
No. Giles from Buffy.
Is that Sir Elliot?
Yeah, so in 2008 version, Rupert Giles, oh no, that's his name, in Buffy. Anthony Head. Yeah, he's a very good Sir Walter, I feel like, so he's my dream cast.
And you prefer that Sir Walter?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's 7 overall. What do you think?
I think I'd give it 6.5.
You always go a bit.
I always go like half.
You lowball it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's
similar good. Reasons. I didn't think it was bad. I just didn't love it as much as the 2008 version.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's of its time as well, a little bit, like, in terms of aesthetics and how we didn't really start getting, like, fancy Hollywood versions of Austin until Pride and Prejudice 2005, is it?
Mm-hmm.
And I maintain Pride and Prejudice 2005 walked so Emma 2020 could run.
Yeah, it's true.
Because, like, that was the first, like, that Hollywood first star adaptation. And they probably chucked all their money at it and it became really popular, and then it became fashionable to make good adaptations of Jane Austen. They weren't just made for old people to watch on ITV3
yeah.
on a Sunday. Yeah. And it kind of made it more fashionable, so that's interesting.
Yeah.
We won't be doing an episode next week, so we're going to take a small hiatus because I'm really busy and I don't have time to edit it. Like, if there was someone who wanted to edit for free, I think we could squeeze it in, although we are struggling to record at the moment, like, because it takes like 2 hours to record this, and then it takes me about 4 hours to edit it, and then you also do have to watch it, although the watching is never a chore and neither is the recording. It's the 4 hours afterwards. So yeah, we're gonna take a short hiatus because I also haven't seen people in a long time, and every weekend is like booked up seeing people, so I don't have any of that free time to do it in. But we'll be back because I want to watch every single one.
We're gonna finish it.
We're going to finish it.
We vowed, we made a solemn vow, and we will follow through.
Yeah, like, genuinely, I have
We took a blood pact, we will finish everything. They're going to keep making them, though, so when we're, like, 80, we're going to still have to be...
Yeah, I know, there's literally, like, isn't there 2 persuasions coming out?
Yes. Bye.